Welcome to the Green Birch Pawn Shop. Let me know if you need anything.
Yeah, you must be the new guy here.
Yeah, pretty new.
Is that Tweezer?
Yeah, it's me, Birch.
Great. What did you find this time?
I brought in an old, tool.
Don't even know what it is, do you?
Yeah, sure I do. It's for, working on stuff. Looks like a saw.
That looks like a piece of junk to me.
Bought it at an estate auction last night. Figured I could make a profit.
But you don't know what it is?
That's why I brought it here. Aren't you supposed to be the expert?
Ah, here comes our expert now. Hey, Tweezer brought this in. What do you think?
It's a piece of junk.
Not you two.
Okay, it's an old hacksaw. Probably from the 40s. Fair shape, I suppose. No one really comes in looking for him.
See, I told you it was old.
He did say that.
Okay, what do you want to do with it? Pawn or sell?
Sell.
Great, just what I need. One more bit of Tweezer junk in my store. Okay, what do you want for it?
I was thinking $200.
Hey, Pat, what's this rusty saw worth?
$10 is a wall ornament.
Okay, I'll offer you $2 for it.
$2? But your expert said 10.
Only because I'm in a good mood.
How about we meet in the middle at $6?
How about $2?
Well, that's not a good deal.
You're right. $2 is too much. I'll give you $1.
You're not very good at haggling over prices, are you, Tweezer?
Okay. $1.
Hey, Russ, pay the man in quarters.
You're so cheap, criminals bring things to you.
Yeah, ironically, you're right.
You guys seemed awfully rude to him.
Yeah, I suppose, but he expects it.
He expects rude service?
Tweezer has been coming in here for years. He always brings junk, always asks more for it than it's worth, and then pretends to be insulted when he's offered very little for his merchandise.
So it's a game?
Pretty much. Yeah, the last thing he brought in was a petrified pig's foot.
What?
It was just a rock that looked vaguely like a pig's hoof, but he was convinced he had the greatest treasure to ever come to Sandwich.
I didn't know there was so much to learn about a pawn shop.
Little did anyone know how valuable Tweezer would be to the latest mystery to make a visit to the Green Birch Pawn Shop, deep in the heart of the little town of Sandwich. Welcome to the Misfits audio presentation of Pawn Quests, the most famous author in town.
Hey, Birch, I'm back from the courthouse. Look who I brought with me.
Officer Benson.
Hey, Birch.
I noticed the luggage. Going somewhere?
Yeah. Got some training at the Capitol. I'll be gone for a couple weeks.
We'll try not to get into any trouble.
I hear you talking, but I'm not sure I believe you. Well, I gotta run. I'll see you later.
See ya. Well, Ozzy, what did you find out?
That pawn receipt appears to have been signed by Laramie Eggers. At least, I think so, since I'm not a handwriting expert. They look close enough to me.
When I found that pawn ticket in the old company ledger, I was curious if it really did reference a pawned item from the most famous author to ever live in Sandwich.
Most famous? What about Fern Whistleberry?
I think it's well established. She wasn't as good.
Well, she did have that one cookbook that sold pretty well.
Oh, the one with the recipe for spaghetti and meatball breakfast omelets?
That's the one.
I actually didn't much care for that recipe.
She was an innovator. Anyway, the receipt?
I don't know, Birch. If the receipt is valid, maybe the written directions are too. Maybe even Reginald's signature on the back.
I don't know, Ozzy. That's a lot of maybes.
Birch and Ozzy recently solved a case in which they discovered a pawn receipt signed by local author Reginald Stafford, who had been deceased for many years. The receipt read, Reginald Stafford, manuscript in basement safe. Signed, Laramie Eggers, proprietor. Sandwich Pickles and Pawn, October 12th, 1959.
I know Reginald very well.
Really?
We went to school together.
So was he an accomplished writer in school?
No, he was always more interested in anything that didn't involve homework.
He must have grown into writing.
Yeah, that's probably it. Well, you guys seem to have everything under control. I'm going to go fishing with Clarence.
Good luck, Pat.
Thanks.
The width is right, but the length is off.
Birch! Tweezers here! Should I send him down?
Yeah, thanks, Russ.
Did you call me back to pay me extra for the tool I brought in yesterday?
No, I think I overpaid you.
Well, it's too late. I already spent the money.
Well, all right then. I guess I'd like to hire you.
I don't know nothing about price and stuff.
That's obvious. What I need is for you to do some excavation for me.
I ain't gonna lie for you, Birch.
I don't want you to exaggerate for me. Excavate. You know, hollow out an archaeological dig.
What?
Treasure hunt.
Oh, I do that all the time, Birch. Mostly at garage sales.
Yeah, I know. Look, I think there was a cave-in down here. I checked the dimensions with the county offices, and it looks like the end of this basement is about 12 feet too short.
Somebody made a mistake.
Or, since this is a dirt cellar, there was a cave-in.
Oh. That makes sense, and if, that's where the digging comes in.
Okay, Tweezer's back on track now.
Birch, we need you up here. Russ just made an offer of $75 for a waffle maker.
I love waffles.
Well, you're offering too much.
Can you really put a price tag on a perfect waffle, Ozzy?
Yeah, take your time. I may as well get started.
Tweezer, are you down there?
Yeah.
Who let you in?
No one. I just walked in.
The door was unlocked?
Yes. Don't you remember hiring me yesterday to work on this, Birch?
Sure, but how did you get in?
I never left.
How did that happen?
You guys were arguing about waffles. I started working, so I didn't have to listen. Guess I lost track of time.
Maybe you should take the rest of the day off. You've got to be tired.
Now that you mention it, I am. Oh, the stuff I found so far? Yeah, it's all sitting there on your workbench.
Okay, thanks, Tweezer. We'll see you tomorrow.
I think I'm going to go get some breakfast.
Oh, excuse me.
Hello, can I help you?
I was looking for Dari.
She left this morning on a semi-professional bowling tour. Can I help you?
I should probably introduce myself. I'm Bonnie Newton from the Sandwich Sentinel. Dari was in the office yesterday.
So you're a reporter?
I wish. Someday, maybe, but for now I just work in classified.
Maybe you could help me.
When out-of-towners come to visit Sandwich, they aren't really sure there's much to do. But Hoagie's Bowl-O-Rama is open every day but Monday. Two doors down is the best restaurant in downtown Sandwich, and almost everyone has a story. If you've got the time, most will share a few tales. But sometimes, Birch and Ozzy just have to coax some of the best stories to speak up.
Oh, Bonnie Newton. Good to have you visit the Stafford Museum again.
It's good to see you too, Maybelle. Not many visitors today.
A little slow, but when the traffic comes, my goodness, we might have upwards of 5 visitors at a time. Now, dear, how can I help you?
Birch Wilson asked me to stop by and see if I could get a handwriting sample of Mr. Stafford.
Now, dear, you know I can't let any of the collectible works leave the museum. But perhaps you could buy one of the commemorative handwriting postcards from the gift shop.
Yes, I can do that, Maybelle.
You could consider the 15-cent change a donation to the upkeep of the museum.
Sounds like a good idea.
I thought so, too. Bye now.
Have a great day, Maybelle.
Indeed I shall.
So this is what Tweezer uncovered.
So far, Yes.
So what exactly do you have?
Some pop bottles.
1960s.
Some coins.
Newest is 1968, and the oldest is 1942.
A book.
The History of the Studebaker Corporation, copyright 1924. Worth about $60 if it weren't damaged in the burial.
How does he know so much?
He's been alive longer than anyone else in Sandwich. You can't buy that kind of knowledge.
Yeah, but they make down payments by letting me go fishing whenever I want. Speaking of which, see ya.
He's like a walking fountain of knowledge.
Yeah, and he still reads. Scary how much Pat knows.
Well, Mr. Wilson, here's the handwriting sample you asked for.
On a postcard?
Yeah, I couldn't get a real page.
We'll make it work.
Why did you need it?
If we find the safe downstairs after Tweezer cleans everything out.
And if it has the manuscript from Reginald Stafford still inside, we would need to authenticate it before we do anything with the manuscript.
You mean it's possible that there is a lost manuscript right here in the shop?
And I'd get the scoop, right?
Buried in a cave in the cellar dirt for decades.
But I'd get the scoop, right?
Wow, that would be cool if it weren't also a little creepy. Glad I'm not Tweezer hanging around in the cellar. What if there's another cave in?
Hello, Scoop? Still here.
I'm sure Birch thought of that, right, Birch?
Cave in? I never thought about that.
I'm glad I did. I'm bringing in some support beams. You don't want to take a dirt nap, you know what I mean?
Happened?
That would be a cave-in. Yeah, I'll take care of that in the morning.
Can I write a story on the cave-in?
No.
Well, this was a waste of my afternoon off.
He's been at it for a week.
That cave-in set him back.
Maybe you should consider cementing the cellar.
It's not very big. Looks like they put it in for storms. I just like it because no one comes down to bug me.
Are you sure there's a safe down there?
No, I'm not sure at all. That's why Tweezer is down there working on this.
Well, hello, everyone.
Maybelle, what brings you to the Green Birch Pawn Shop?
Well, it seems everyone at Two Doors Down was talking about the work you're doing in the cellar.
It's true. We are seeking to restore the cellar.
Perhaps I'm being too forward, but does this have anything to do with the handwriting sample that Bonnie needed?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it could get me fired.
So there could be a connection.
Thanks, Ross. We just don't know, Maybelle.
There was talk about a missing manuscript. The last book that Reginald Stafford would ever write.
Well, I...
I just can't think of why someone would want a handwriting sample if they weren't looking to compare. If this is what you may have found, please know I have an interest unrelated to the Stafford Museum.
Unrelated?
Ooh, let me write this down.
This must remain in strictest confidence.
Never mind.
You all have a nice day now. I'm certain we'll talk again.
This place just gets stranger every day.
You're telling me we've got a guy named Tweezer in our cellar.
The waiting was the hardest part of the mystery for Birch and Ozzy. Perhaps it was no less hard for Russ and Dari. Pat, he didn't seem to mind either way.
Welcome to the Green Birch. How can we help you today?
I have this stamp collection I want to sell.
Oh, so you're a philatelist? A stamp collector?
Let me see. Several stamps never canceled or used. A few rare stamps. Nice collection.
Thanks.
So, are you wanting to pawn or sell?
Well, I really have no use for it, so I guess sell.
Well, Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, we might be able to sell the entire collection for $50.
I'll offer $15 for the collection.
I don't know. I'm thinking $40.
$20.
$30.
$25.
Okay. $25.
Here. Let me get your cash. 10, 20, and 5.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Come back again.
Eureka! I found gold in that there cellar.
Gold?
What? Russ, call Birch and let him know Tweezer found something.
Okay.
They said you found something.
I did. Follow me. Watch your step.
I've never seen it this large down here.
Those support beams should hold things up nicely. Well, there it is.
So there really was a safe down here.
I wonder if the cave-in happened after Laramie Egger closed the shop.
I have no idea, but one thing I did find is this.
A chain?
Yes, but look what it's connected to.
A decaying wooden beam.
Looks like someone wanted this safe buried.
Oh, and there is one other thing you should see.
What's that?
If I dig down 18 inches, I hit something solid.
Pipes?
No, come here and look. I've cleared off a section.
Cement?
So, if there's a cement floor, why is there so much dirt down here?
That's a very good question. I've spent absolutely no time thinking of an answer.
Hey, Pat, do you know how to break into a safe?
Not without special pieces of equipment I haven't used in 50 years.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, then don't ask.
What if we tried?
And numbers associated with birthdays and anniversaries.
I suppose we could just drill out the lock and open it that way.
What a waste of a beautiful safe.
I agree. That's why I've been poring over the ledger all afternoon. Look what I found.
Is that the combination to the safe?
We can only hope. The paper even says combination to the cellar safe. Wait a minute. I looked through that ledger and I never found it.
Oh, it was folded up and placed in a gap in the spine of the book.
Well, let's go unlock the safe. You go right, and I won't tell you where, then left, same vague answer, and then right again.
Birch!
What? I don't want everyone knowing the combination.
It didn't work? Let me try.
Knock yourself out.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. It said the cellar safe, right?
Right.
Isn't this the cellar safe?
Of course it is. Wait a minute. Hey, Tweezer.
Yeah?
Come here for a minute.
Yes, sir, boss.
You said there was cement about a foot and a half below the dirt.
Yeah, weirdest thing.
What if that's not a floor as much as it's a ceiling?
Okay, now I'm really lost.
I don't know the answer, but it sounds like I'll be digging. After all, you're the man with the checkbook.
Look, I gotta get back to work. Call me if you find anything.
Another week of dirt removal, and the cellar floor was a fairly clean slab of cement. Just 18 inches below the workbench Birch had used since opening the shop several years before was a steel metal plate and a hinged metal door with a combination lock.
And I thought Teddy Hamill done a lot of stuff from Laramie Egger's pawn shop.
Looks like he left the best stuff here.
Do you have the pawn ticket from Reginald Stafford?
Right here.
Number 540. Let's see. Hey, shine your flashlight here, Birch.
What have you got?
It's right here, wrapped in butcher's paper.
Looks like it's time to compare.
The secret chamber safe was filled with items no one had seen in 50 years. Each had a story. Each story carried a potential mystery. This chamber would become a place of refuge for Birch Wilson.
This is very disappointing. The handwriting on these pages doesn't look anything like the postcard sample we have from Reginald Stafford.
I was hoping we would have something to share with the Stafford Museum, some bit of lost sandwich culture that might bring some notoriety to our little hamlet.
Hey, Birch. Ozzy?
Officer Benson? We haven't seen you in a couple of weeks.
I had some specialized training I had to take at the Capitol.
Oh, welcome back.
2 doors down is all abuzz with your cellar cleanup.
It's been an eye-opening experience.
Can I help with anything?
You work with handwriting samples, right?
Sure, but I'm not a forensic expert.
Take a look at these 2 handwriting samples.
No, they ain't even close to a match. But the way the sentences are written are the same.
Well, wait, are you saying that the words are from the same person, but the writing is by 2 different people?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying.
So you have 1 of 2 choices.
Pat, I didn't see you there.
I admit I was sleeping, but if the words are from the same author, but the writing is different, then you have a couple of possibilities.
What's that?
The first possibility is that someone else wrote down the words Reginald Stafford told him to write.
That's possible. Did he have a personal assistant?
No, he was a very private man.
So what's the other possibility?
Someone else wrote the book, and Reginald Stafford planned to rewrite it in his own handwriting later.
You do realize you're talking about the most famous author to come from Sandwich.
I knew Reginald Stafford. He was not a very creative man. Yes, he was a hermit, but he couldn't write to save his life.
So, you're saying you never believed Reginald Stafford was the writer?
I think he became a fine representation of our community. But no, I don't think he was the writer of any of those stories.
You know, Birch, this is an incredibly well-written story.
You mean the one Reginald Stafford probably didn't write?
It reads like all his other books, but no one thinks it's his handwriting.
Ah, Ms. Maybelle Lawrence. Welcome back.
It's nice to see you again, Mr. Wilson. Did you find the manuscript?
Well, we're not publicizing it yet, but we have.
Of course, the Stafford Museum would be honored to receive the manuscript.
Something tells me you haven't shared the news with anyone there.
What makes you say that, Mr. Wilson?
Because no one from the board or family has contacted me.
It is true. I have not told anyone.
But you have your reasons, right?
Exactly, Mr. Green. Can I see just a page of the manuscript?
Well...
I promise I will not touch it, but there is something I must know.
I don't think we can do that, Ms. Lawrence.
Well, in lieu of seeing it myself, could you take this sheet and see if it matches the handwriting in the manuscript?
This is so intense!
Well, I'll be.
They match?
Perfectly.
Dear me.
Please, Ms. Lawrence, can you tell us who wrote this manuscript?
May we find a place to get comfortable? This is a story I will only share once, and I must swear you to secrecy as not to give Reginald Stafford a bad name.
What can I do for you?
Mr. Stafford?
Yes?
I have a proposition that I believe will be beneficial to both of us.
Perhaps you have the wrong house, ma'am. I'm not a man of business. I'm not a man of creative skill. I am simply a man who wishes to be left alone.
Yes, but you are a man of independent wealth.
Well, no.
And what is your present occupation?
I clean windows.
Do you like it?
No.
Then I am in earnest when I say I have an idea you would be most interested in.
Perhaps I can spare a few minutes. Come in. Tea?
And that would be lovely.
Now, you had mentioned a business opportunity.
Indeed. Do you read, Mr. Stafford?
I am sad to admit that I do not. I have no interest in reading.
What if it became your new passion?
I could earn money by reading?
No, by writing.
Perhaps our time is wasted, ma'am. I cannot write.
But I can. Mr. Stafford, very few women writers are ever given a chance. I have written several stories that have all been rejected. I fear it is simply because I am not a man.
I am sorry to hear that, ma'am.
However, I have chosen not to lament my misfortune, but rather to create an opportunity.
And how exactly will you do that?
We will assign your name to the manuscripts. It will give you plenty of time to be by yourself. Most people will believe you are writing. In this way, Mr. Stafford, we will both get what we are after. You get time to spend alone. I get the opportunity to publish my work.
I admit I am at a bit of a disadvantage. You obviously know my name, but I am afraid I do not know yours.
I can't contain myself! Who was it? Who? Who?
Yeah, we gotta know.
My guess, Fern Whistleberry.
Patrick Reynolds is correct.
Patrick?
In an odd way, that makes sense.
That it would be Fern?
No, that Patrick would be Pat's real name.
Yeah, I'm going fishing.
Come in, Mr. Wilson.
Call me Birch. It seems that your story makes sense. The handwriting matches, and even Pat seems to have some understanding of the issues.
He was friends of both Reginald and Fern.
That explains why he has been so quiet about this mystery. So what is your interest in this case, Maybelle?
In the interest of full disclosure, you should know that Fern Whistleberry was my grandmother.
I see. So you want to see your grandmother get credit for the books?
Yes, and no. I did want to see if the manuscript was written by my grandmother. She never talked about her writing to me, but it was generally understood in the family that she was the author. Perhaps Grandpa saw her original manuscripts, but none of her children or grandchildren ever did.
Until now.
That's right. For reasons I can't explain, I just wanted to know, for sure.
You also said you didn't want to see your grandmother get credit for the work she did. Why not?
This probably won't make any sense to you, Birch. But if it weren't for Mr. Stafford's willingness to represent my grandmother's work, it is likely no one would have ever read her words. She apparently tried dozens of times to get published before approaching Mr. Stafford.
So, what exactly do you want to see happen?
I've thought about this a lot, Mr. Wilson, and I've come to the belief that the best way to deal with this is the same way Reginald Stafford and Grandma Whistleberry handled it. Today we're here to celebrate literature. Some months ago, Birch Wilson, Ozzie Green, and a few of their friends literally unearthed the lost manuscript of Reginald Stafford. The interest in the story was seen in national news stories and the many offers received for publication. Today we are pleased to say that a sizable royalty has been paid that will be used for renovations of the Reginald Stafford Museum. We are also pleased to say that Reginald Stafford was not the only author of note from Sandwich. My own grandmother, Fern Whistleberry, also dabbled in writing. A trust has been established that has led to a grant for a reading garden at our local library named in honor of my grandmother. Thank you all for coming. There are refreshments as well as copies of the new book available for purchase.
Maybelle Lawrence is one class act, splitting royalties, just like old times.
Seems like she should get credit for her writing.
I don't know. Maybe. Being a silent partner, she'll be happy to know her words have created something special at the library.
Well, hello, everyone. Glad you could make it.
Those mint thingies are really good.
Yes, well, thanks. Help yourself.
Don't mind him, ma'am. He gets cranky if he doesn't get sugar.
And a little hyper when he does. You know, Maybelle, you could have let everyone know it was your grandmother who wrote the stories in the first place.
Yes, that's true. But I am happy for three reasons. Firstly, I know what a great lady Grandma Fern was. Secondly, people still love reading her work, and I think she always enjoyed her little secret. And finally, I think she'd be proud of the reading garden that bears her name.
Hey, I thought you were going to call me. And I read about it in the newspaper.
Oops, you're on your own, Birch.
Not every mystery has a bad guy. Not every story needs a drama queen. Maybelle Lawrence traded in potential bitterness for something that paid tribute to a partnership 50 years old. She discovered the truth, and in doing so, she gained a sense of peace. You've been listening to PawnQuest, the most famous author in town. We'd like to thank our regular cast, Russell Gold as Ozzie Green, Glenn Haskell as Pat Newman, Tom Chalker as Birch Wilson, James Lorenz as Russ Reynolds, Captain John Tattersack as Officer Benson, as well as special guest Boz Collins as Tweezer, Elise Krawick as Maybelle Lawrence, Tanya Milojevic as Bonnie Newton, Otis Gyrie as Larry Bowen, Scott Fortney as Reginald Stafford, Natalie Stanfield Thomas as Fern Whistleberry and narrator. PawnQuest, the most famous author in town, was written and produced by Glenn Haskell. Executive producer, Captain John Tattersack. Music for this story was composed and performed by Phil Carney. Script editor, Cheryl Collins. Webmaster, April Sadowski. Art director, Thomas Rippert. This episode is dedicated to the sacrifices many of our grandparents made in order to make life work. They often were more interested in raising their families than raising their own personal fame or fortune. Perhaps this story also points innocently to those who may still be following this example. This production is for enjoyment purposes only. I'm your narrator, Natalie Stanfield Thomas. This is an original production by Misfits Audio. Copyright 2013. All rights reserved.